The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD proof that we love God. Also, in tune giving, true political wisdom, and expecting to hear what? Isn't this fun?
Christian faith.
I love live radio.
50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of...
You should probably just take it over.
Okay. You know what? I think I'll just take it over. How about I just take it over? I'm taking over. This is kind of like my dog when we get home and he's like, okay, I'm taking over. All right, let's go. So we're still working on the intro, so everybody relax. Take a deep breath. Ready? It's okay. It's fine. Some things happen, right? I mean, were you ever driving down the road? This just happened to me. And then I'm going in the other lane, and then I start to go in the other lane, and then I signaled. Like, oops. Right? You ever do that? I've done that. Anyway, we'll get that back on track. Don't you worry about it. But here you go. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, heavenly talk. Here's what we're going to be looking at the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Just remember, as we just proved to you, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to call in. We talk about everything and anything. And it's like, everything? Uh-huh. We might not agree. And if you have something really nasty to say, we'll probably put you on time delay. So I wouldn't go too far. But you're welcome to call in 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic open for conversation. The show, it's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. A couple things to tell you. Of course, we want to give big props and thanks to our good friend, John.
Big John. Big John.
I love that. That's so good. I just love the way you do that. All right, from the Blessed Roofing Company. Guess what? We're putting his first commercial into production. We talked about it today. The Blessed Roofing Company. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I got to figure out if I want to, you know, get a roof, if I need an inspection, do I need commercial, do I need residential, do I need a fix, what do I need to get done? If you type in, oh, man, I'm looking for a roofing company that's blessed, well, the Blessed Roofing Company would be the one. Their phone number, 469-BLESSED. That's how blessed they are. It's not just blessed in the URL. It's blessed in the phone number. 469-BLESSED. B-L-E-S-S-E-D. For those that are going, what
was that?
Okay. All right, let's get into it. Got a couple things to cover. I am going to throw a trivia question out there. We want to thank our callers from yesterday for answering, and we do appreciate the – and it's good to know that people are listening and that they're responding. It's always a good thing. We're going to throw something out there real quickly. It is our first trivia question. As we wind into starting to give away prizes and different gifts of and sorts, we'll get to that. We just want to create that common pattern. People understand what's going on. So here's the first trivia question. Who said, how can a man be born when he is old? Who said that? How can a man be born when he is old? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. I want to state this real quickly as before we get into our first review or our teach, so to speak, or our DDD. Now, I got a fantastic wife. I love my wife. She's just, I mean, she's really just a great, great, great friend of mine. Here you go. Ready? When I get sick, I might be the only person that does this. When I get sick, I really whine a lot. Okay? I mean, I whine. I'm like, oh, I'm so sick. I don't know if you're one of those people. If I get a stomachache, now I know my son is just like this, and other guys that I know are like this. If I get a stomachache, it's like it's the end of the world. Whereas when my wife is sick, she just toughs it out. Okay? So that principle, which operates in my family, that principle is ironic, is that also operates in regards to work. So I work hard and she works hard, but when I get home, I tell her I work harder. See, this is the problem. The problem is I'm telling her I work harder so I can feel better about myself, because in my heart, I know she's working just as hard, if not harder. And I can't stand that. But I'm just telling you. So the other day I said, man, I'm really putting in the hours. I'm really working hard, putting the commercials together, doing the show, getting all this stuff. And she didn't say a word. She just looked at me and nodded her head. I was guilty before I finished my sentence. Is that amazing or what? Okay, we had somebody call in on the trivia question. What do we have?
It was Leonard again today.
Yay! All right, Leonard, what do you got?
He says Nicodemus.
That is correct. John chapter 3, verse 4. It is Nicodemus. That is right. Now, I will tell you that there will be an increase of difficulty as we go through different questions, but I will also let you know this. As we go through it, there will be challenges. They will be all biblically related in some capacity. And you never have to go on the air if you don't want to, but you're welcome to, as long as you're not going to sit there and go, and then just fall over. We don't want that to happen. Let's get into our first actual DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. And this is precious because it really has to do with proof that we love the Lord. I love the Lord. And if you remember, there were some skits, even on shows like Saturday Night Live, making fun of Christians. They'd tilt their head back and forth. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And they're making fun of it. Well, there is a way to know whether somebody loves the Lord or not. And, of course, reflecting Jesus Christ is going to be one of those key components. I don't think there's a lot of argument there. But I want to dig into the Old Testament to show you something that I found that I think is rather fascinating. And that comes out of 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Solomon had made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished the building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at high places because the temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. This is verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. I want you to hear that. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David. One of the things that will take place is people will just say, I'm Christian, I'm Christian, I'm Christian. And we know as Christians that love is a primary principle and is the motivator and is in the actual DNA of God, because God does not just love, but God is love. Therefore, part of his DNA structure is actually love. It's kind of an amazing element. But one of the things that people will do is claim it, even name it, but never do it. And it's like, wait a second. Solomon in the beginning of his life did really well. Towards the last half of his life, or maybe the second second two-thirds, not as good as we would have preferred. But the scripture illustrates that Solomon, when he was doing it right, showed his love for the Lord by walking in the statutes of his father David. He showed his love for the Lord by doing what it is the Lord had set before them. Now, the problem there is that if you're going to take the 613 laws of the Old Testament and try and say that that's applicable today, you're missing the teachings of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Because our job is to do the same. Our job is to love the Lord and show our love for the Lord. Well, Matthew 22, 36 through 40 says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And by the way, in Mark's gospel, it adds, with all your strength. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I want to make sure that you understand what's going on. Jesus took this summation of not just the 613 laws, some say 619, but they argue that later. And he took the principles, the elements that have to do with a person's engagement between God and them and between them and people. It's really funny because the first three commandments are directly between the Lord and the person of the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment is really for the sake of the person. The Sabbath is for the benefit of the person. God doesn't need rest. Per se. And you know what I'm saying? He rested as an example, but he's not in need of it. And then the last six have to do with how we deal with mankind and how we deal with one another. So the first three commandments are towards the Lord. The one in the middle, or the fourth one, is for us. And then the next six are directed towards one another. And it's amazing that within the framework of the Ten Commandments is the breakdown that Jesus gave to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbors, love yourself. The key in this is to watch this. This is huge. Get ready. Ready? The key is to do it. Okay? To say it is fantastic, but not as fantastic as is to do it. Okay? And by that, I mean this. When you are walking in a way that you are demonstrating your love for the Lord, you're going to love God first. That's why it's the first three commandments. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. You got yourself structured in there in commandment number four, and then the last six dealing with one another. You're going to fulfill all it is that God desires. Now, here's the kick. Here's the thing. You can't do any of that without the Lord. You can't fulfill any of the commandments of God just independently of yourself. You're not going to love your enemy apart from God. You can barely love yourself, let alone your neighbor. You need God's help to do these things. But the key component in this DDD, do it. Don't talk about it, okay? All right. Going to take a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait,
I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. How you doing, Wonder Julie? You doing good? You doing? Are you okay?
I'm back online.
Okay. Well, I'm just making sure. How is Willie Nelson?
Willie Nelson is awesome.
Okay.
I haven't looked at him on camera, but.
Okay. Willie Nelson is her dog, by the way.
Yes.
So you're going to hear about Willie Nelson. Then you're going to hear about Levi. You hear about all these different things, plus children. You're going to hear about life. Why? Because that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with life. Speaking of life. Yeah, that's a good segue. I'm going to have to wait for it. But it was really good. It was like, yeah, right in there. A couple things to tell you. If you want to reach the show, you can always call during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You do not have to go on the air. You're allowed to ask for prayer. You're allowed to share a praise report, whatever. Kind of want to make it more of a community mindset. And really, the goal is for us so that you can know, well, what's that long-term goal, is to have this available for everybody in the entire Texas area. And then we're going to expand it out into different areas. So you're looking at the birth of a national show in the very beginning stages. And this is how you do it. That's kind of what it's all about. You're also welcome to call the station, leave a message. You can reach out to us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That's, I think most people don't use that, but you're welcome to. davidspoon.com has the website, and it has a place where you can put comments. You can go into Facebook, type David Spoon, and then my son is making me – I don't want to say my son is making me. It sounds kind of weird, but he's asked me to do live YouTube stuffy. I'm really technical. That live YouTube stuff. So I'm doing that, and I don't know what that does. I did look at it, and I looked pretty puffy. Just saying, don't get so, I looked like I looked at myself and I went, "Wow, I'm going to wear tighter t-shirts."
Cut back on the sodium, please.
Yeah, I think it's got something going on. One too many In-N-Out burgers, you know what I'm saying? Or on the other side of that, perhaps not enough. Not enough. Maybe I need to up that. Okay. So my wife and I have just. Great partnership in a lot of things, but we don't have a perfect relationship. Well, okay, my half's perfect. But anyway, so that's a joke. So we were talking, and some people have helped us. We are doing this whole process by faith. I don't know if you've ever tried something to do ministry in faith, but sometimes you just throw everything in on the basket, and you just go, here we go, Lord, we're going to do the best we can. And you can't do better than that. And there's a saying, it's been around for years and years and years, but I used to actually have it on my little Mazda pickup truck back when they had the commercial where it said, and the Mazda goes, That's a long time ago for those that don't know. But it used to say, do your best, pray that it's blessed, and let Jesus take care of the rest. And that sometimes that's all you can do. You just do your best and pray that the Lord blesses it. So we had somebody that participated with us once we got going and is helping us in our ministry and in our cause. And so we decided we wanted to give from that person giving to us. And so I was thinking about it, and I really got that impression. I want to be careful how I say that. I just really got that sense that I needed to give to somebody who's been helping us. Not, you know, to give to them financially, who's been helping us for no cost. They've just been trying to help out. And so I decided I was going to do that. And then I talked to my wife, and we were talking about it. And she went in the other room, and I was still in the living room, and I thought, You know, I really believe that that's what the Lord wants me to do. I really think I should set this up. So I'm setting it up. And she walks in while I'm setting it up and says, you know, you should be generous and you should give because that's what people do for you and that's what people do for us. And we need to do the same thing. And then she said an amount and I said an amount. And it's like the exact same amount. And so we were setting it up and we're like, all right, yeah. So that's what I mean by in tune giving, like we're, you know, connected to it. So first and foremost, Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. That doesn't mean that everything that a person does, spirit-led and otherwise, is perfect. And I don't want anybody to get that impression. Every time I do something as a Christian, it's perfect. Nah, you know better than that. I even picked out the perfect color. You know, if you like the yellow car, you can buy a yellow car. It's your car. You're driving it. Okay? It's okay. Although yellow is probably not the best choice. but that's up to you. Okay. My point is you want to be led by the Spirit as much as you can. You want to be influenced by the Lord in this process. And we'll talk about what that means in greater depth. And it's like, that sounds very charismatic-y. You've got to be kidding. Being led by the Spirit is charismatic. Paul's in trouble. Then you go into another teaching on Paul, and he says, talks about cheerful giving, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Many people will see that as something that's set apart from tithes. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think this is a giving arena, but I'm not, I don't base fellowship based on how somebody interprets tithes or not. I'm certainly not going to base it on eschatology. I'm not going to base it on ecclesiology. Now, you know, Christology is a little different and soteriology is a little different, but we'll get into those some other time. So the point of that is that you got to have a cheerful attitude when you're giving. It's got to be not reluctantly or under compulsion. When you give, all right, let's use, for example, when you're paying taxes. How often do you joyfully pay, oh boy, it's tax time. Yay. Okay, come on. And then there's all this people, and I've met people who have professed, oh, I think the government should charge people more. They should charge even more. You know, there's a little thing on your form that says, I give above what my tax due is. If you want them to charge more, why don't you just give more? Oh, I see. So you don't want to actually do it. You just want to talk about it so you can seem like you're, I don't know, generous. I think the idea is that when you do give, you should give with a right spirit, a right heart. You should be thankful to give. Hey, look at everything you have, you received. And I'm gonna really step on some toes here, but it doesn't. That's okay. Here's the bottom line. Do you remember about 6.5 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, where there was this big argument between people on the left and people on the right? And the argument was this. Barack Obama was president at that time, and he said, everything you have is because the government enabled you to have it. And you owe everything to the government. Good buzz right there. And then there were people on the right side saying, everything I have is because I worked for it, I earned it, and because I worked for it and I earned it, it's mine, and I should be able to do with it as I please, and I'm in charge. Okay. However, poor Julie's going, no. However, every government is established by God, and every person's breath is given by God, and every breath you take, remember that song? And every move you make, remember that song? Every breath you take, that is all from God. So while it's true, you could say you were a part of the process. If God didn't give you breath, you'd have nada. That is one of my favorite sounds. I can't believe that's Debbie Downer. I love that sound. Anyway, now those were funny skits. So here's what I'm trying to say to you, that it is God who is the one who gives you this stewardship capacity of all the things that you have. You know those talents you have? You know those things that you have that kind of distinguish you somewhat, and you know, you have this ability. So, for example, let's use Wonder Julie real fast. She has an ability to work on the board and to make a connection and addition to something that she's hearing. She's got this kind of, you know, not everybody can do that. Some people can get behind a microphone and talk forever because they're just really have the capacity to never be quiet. Okay,
who would that be?
I don't know. Something about noops spelled backwards. Anyway, so that's spoon for those that haven't figured that out. So the idea there is that those gifts that you have within your framework are from the Lord. And even that gift of ministry you have for praying for people, that passion and compassion you have, that's from God. So what people do is they try to operate in this overly independent, which I get, and I mean, let's be honest. There are some people that do a better job with their talents than others. There's no question about that. But the talent comes from God. And the gift comes from God. And what do you have, the Bible says, that you did not receive? And where it starts from that is Acts 16 and 17, where every breath is because it's a gift from the Lord. Now, I've said all of that to say this. See, this is the longest setup. Now we got 3 minutes to finish. Was the longest setup you've seen. And you're like, well, why are you taking the breaks if the commercials are yours? Because I want you to get used to it, because when the different sponsors come in, they get that time, just so you can know. Here's all of that to say this. No leftover giving for God. In fact, I'm going to split this up in two pieces. So that's what I'm going to do instead of just trying to wind it all down. What I mean is this. When you and I give, we have to have a cheerful attitude, a right spirit, a right mind. And by the way, if you're not a person that can, you think, I don't know if I can do tithes, or I don't know if I can do this, or I don't know if I can do that. You know what? If you want to learn to give, start with anything. Just give. Jesus was not impressed on the tithes of the poor woman at the temple, but that she gave, period. She gave, and it was sacrificial. We'll talk about that. People that give, I got $50 million, I'll give you $100. That's not giving. That's getting somebody away from you. It's so different. So what we'll do is, I think when we come back, I'm going to explore Malachi 1, 6 through 9. I want to look at that because I want to talk about giving. Now, all this giving has nothing to do with this show. Zero. Nobody give, period. Period, period. Wherever the Lord leads you, to whatever ministry you are drawn to, feel like supports, strengthens you, and you want to support and strengthen them, or independently, if the Lord leads you to do something, do that. That's what I want you to do. We're going to take a short break. I want to come back and go over this no leftover giving. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station, right here in Texas.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now, and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking.
Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience. You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I can't believe we are like almost through the first week. That's like amazing, right? You're still at the board. You haven't run out screaming.
Although I'm not so sure Jennifer is going to be all that happy with some of the stuff that's coming.
But, and then Tiffany's doing a great job, and I'll get a chance to see Don, I think, tomorrow. So that'll be cool. A couple of things to keep in mind if you want to get kind of an updated mindset of what's going on with the show and stuff. DavidSpoon.com is a good way to do that. I try and update it on a regular basis. Plus Facebook. Although none of the media elements that I participate in do I do well. I do them all poorly. So if you're looking for, wow, he's doing that in a stellar fashion, like, no, that is not going to take place. I do want to remind you, if you want to reach the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. So we'll drop one more trivia question in. I do want to make sure that we stay on top of it. And as we go deeper and deeper, we will see different approaches. The next question will be quite simple. All right. How many children? How many children did Isaac have? How many children did Isaac have? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Got to think that through. Our number, 972-445-0770. Didn't say grandchildren or offspring, just 972-445-0770. Again, you don't have to be online. You're welcome to call. You're welcome to participate. You're also welcome to ask a question. If I can't answer it, I'll tell you I can't answer it. Now, being born and raised Jewish and then becoming a Christian and having the background I have, I will act like I am answering it. That doesn't mean I will answer it. I will just act that way. Ask my wife. There's no question she has ever asked me. Unless it has to do with electricity. Then it's like she just doesn't ask me. It's easier that way. I want to talk about this in-tune giving. So this in-tune giving, my wife and I, we were able – it was great because we gave like in unity. And when you're giving and you're like connected, or even if you're connected between you and the Lord and you're giving in unity, there's a cheerfulness. I'm glad to give. I'm super happy to participate. And I'll tell you something else. It is – a blessing to give. Jesus said that the blessings were upon people that gave more than the people that received, as Paul was quoting for us. And so I think the idea that we can get from that is to grasp, remember Paul quoted that, to grasp that there is a blessing in the giving process. Want to know something? They did a study 2 years ago from the New England Journal of Medicine on brain responses to different activities. Did you know that the number one positive brain response for people was giving? You think it's got to be sex? Nope. Money? Nope. Food? I would think it's food. Nope. It's giving. because there's something built into the human DNA that when you give and bless somebody, it blesses you in a unique fashion. Huh. I wonder if God knew what he was doing. Huh. When he built us. Huh. Makes you think. So going back to that giving process, it should be a cheerful giving. And again, not to this show. Nothing. No. Negative. Give anywhere else. Okay? Anywhere else. But give with a right spirit and a right heart. Here is the problem that'll happen in churches quite a bit. It's called leftover giving. And having been a pastor in a couple of different churches, I'm familiar with it extremely. Extremely, too much, extremely. That's good English. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The Lord of heaven's armies says to the priests, a son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where is the honor and the respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? Isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Go ahead. Beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show any favor to any of you at all? Here's something that people miss. So the church will have kind of a, hey, we're going to put together a nursery. It is not giving because you took from your garage that you're trying to clean up the broken playpen that has been a nuisance to your eyes for years, and you finally have a place to dump it. Oh, good. The church can take it. I'm just asking, do you think God's impressed with that? Oh, how impressive. They cleaned out their garage for me. Oh, how awesome. They have given in such a capacity that they have cleaned up their garage and given something that they were going to throw in the dump to the church. Well, that's still giving, Dave. No, God says it's not. Real giving has a cost associated to it. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? I know you know. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, it says, the king replied, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Ooh. That's where the – see that thing where you just felt really bad right there? That's called conviction. That's what that's called. And what the Lord is saying is don't give to me leftovers. Don't give me what you can – you know, it's great that somebody will go through their wallet and, oh, look, I got a fiver. Yeah, I'm not going to use that. Besides, Jack in the Box costs more than $5. Bam! And they put that in the offering basket. At least you know where the bam idea came from because I just did that. Bam! You're thinking, but that's not right, Dave. No, tell me that's not right. Tell God that's not right. God doesn't like leftovers. Why? Well, when he gave you Jesus Christ, did he give you leftovers? Oh, that's just mean. That's like those dog covers. That's mean. It's like, listen, God gave his best for you and I. He gave himself. We ought to give our best back to the Lord. It's not that you have to give a certain amount, especially when we're talking about this realm of giving. It's not, that's not it at all. But you ever heard the expression, throw him a bone, throw the dog a bone? You ever heard that expression? Comes a little bit, I'll confess, the origins escape me at the moment. But there's a lot of that used in sales. I'll throw him a bone. And it's like, yeah, just give them something, then they'll be, you know, be quiet. And see, the bone, the whole idea behind the bone was to keep the dog from barking. And it's like, just throw him a bone. Throw God a bone. No. You give God the best. You give God what costs. You give God what he is entitled to, what he is worthy of, the best you can. And you don't give God what's left over, because that's insulting. And it's funny that I'm talking about this now in this first week. I think it took me 2 years last time to talk about giving, because I really, really, really dislike some of the money pleas that take place in ministries and in churches throughout the world. I totally supporting ministries. I just really dislike some of the style. There's a televangelist out there that says if you give to him, you will never be penniless. You know what he does? He takes a penny and puts it in a cellophane piece of paper and sends it back to you and says, never get rid of this and you'll never be penniless. That is so cheesy. It's not even funny. That's horrible, not to mention insulting. Here's the deal. When you give, don't give and then go, hope it goes this way. Give it unto the Lord. Give what you can. Make it count. If you can't give with a right heart, keep it. He's not gonna bless you for giving, grumbling and frumping all around the ground. Give with a right spirit the best you can. Does that mean you need to give to every single cause? No, I don't believe that. I believe man is really good at asking for those kind of things, and I think you should respond where the Lord leads you, which is why the whole title of this DDD is In Tune Giving. Not out of tune, in tune. Do you ever hear somebody sing a song? Do you ever hear somebody sing a song in karaoke? Do you ever hear somebody sing a song in karaoke that sounds really bad and is out of tune? Yikes, it's out of tune. Don't let your giving be like out of tune karaoke. Bet you haven't heard that comparison before. Because God gave you his best. God gives you his best. And oh, by the way, when you get to heaven, it will be the best again. So while you're here as a steward of that which God has given you, be a giver and generous like God. Follow his example. God is not the Grinch. When you ask him for things, if they're completely inappropriate, if they're going to hurt you, if they're going to be things that just puff up your flesh, you're not going to get them. But if you really want to get closer to the Lord, you really want to participate in serving in the kingdom, you really want to be a person who engages in blessing other people, believe me, the Lord will make a way for you to operate in that. A man's gift makes room for him, the Bible says. So it's important for us to get that. I just want to really establish that early on in all of our mindsets. You're thinking, kind of preachy. Yeah. So that was kind of preachy. That's how it goes. All right, we're going to take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Everyone and everything
we find, he's the hungry giant. Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy, too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Well, our amps are louder. Because you see, ours, normally an amp goes from 1 to 10, see? But ours, they go to 11, see? So ours are one more. They're louder, see? So you turn them all the way to 11, all the way up. They're louder.
I have saved the best for the last, because I know almost what I am doing, but not quite.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station, here in Texas. I'm going to nail that down. I'm going to get that here in Texas. Got to get something good. Because I have like a Sean Connery one that I do for Twitter. It's David at Spoon Experience on Twitter. Because my handle. See, so I got to work something out for the Texas. Here in Texas. All right. Maybe if we can get a little maybe George Bush. Here in Texas. Okay. Something like that. Well, I'll work it out. Two things I want to cover. I want to cover expectations of what you're going to hear. Or hearing or listening for, but I also want to cover real quickly media. I don't want to do this too long, but I do want to point out a couple things that you might not be aware of. Media, for those that do not know, has an acronym. Do you know, Judy, what the media acronym is?
No.
It stands for Making Everyone Dumber in America.
Okay.
Like that? Huh? It's pretty funny, huh? Okay. Making Everyone Dumber in America. Actually, when I originally wrote that, I put D-U-M-M-E-R instead of D-U-M-B-E-R because it just seemed like that fit. Making Everyone Dumber in America. So the reason that I bring that up is because you are bombarded by media on a regular basis. I'm going to ask you to do a fast. You're going to be like, what? Just bear with me. Because I have a little fun. Now, I am not one of those people that thinks that the way to stay current is to jump on the internet or turn on the TV. I think the way you stay current is to stay connected to Jesus Christ. Who knows what's going to happen more than the Lord? Nobody. But here's what I'm telling you ahead of time so you can be aware of. You will hear some of these media acronyms coming down the road. I don't want you to get too offended. So, you know, if you're easily offended, I refer you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and tell you to stop sinning right now. You know the whole thing about people and, oh, they're offended about this and they're offended about this. You know, the Bible says love is not easily offended. Those are people that have no love. Period. If you're that easily offended, something wrong. Something wrong with your upbringing. Something's wrong with your current. Yeah, you can't spank the kids because, you know what? This is what you get when you don't spank kids, the generation we got. Bunch of whiners. 25-year-olds telling everybody how they ought to live. They can't even wipe their nose. Are you kidding? It's killing me. Anyway, that's what happens when you get older. You get grouchy and grumpy and you get a 25-year-old telling you how you should live your life. It's like, dude, get a job. All right. CNN, this is one of my favorites just because it's the one that I've used forever and ever. CNN stands for Christ Not Necessary. That's what it stands for. MSNBC must speak negative about Bible Christians. MSNBC. CBS stands for Christians can be stupid. Christians be stupid. ABC is anybody but Christ. NBC, numbskulls believe Christ. And don't forget NPR, not professional radio. And PBS, punish believers severely. That's right. I made that list up. All that original material doesn't cost you a penny. How's that? Huh? That's gold right there. That is anybody's late night show right there. What I'm going to do is ask you to do something you've probably not heard of before. Maybe you have. If you have, I congratulate you. I'm going to ask you to take a break from any media that portrays Christians in a negative light. I'm not telling you never to watch it again. I'm just going to ask you to take a 24-hour break from any media that is disparaging against the Christian faith. Period. Just take a 24-hour break, a 24-hour fast. I didn't even come up with this. My daughter did. She's like, well, we take a 24 or 48-hour break from media. I'm like, what? She was like, we fast. Anything that's like against Christ, whether it's TV, radio, webs, magazines, or whatever, or anybody who's belittling, if they're a leader, a celebrity, an athlete in the public eye, and they make fun of Christian beliefs, we take a 24 to 48-hour fast. I thought, that's genius. It's like, you know what happens when you do that? You don't get as upset. Now, what does that tell you? Maybe some of these things have a little too much power in our lives. And maybe we're giving them a little too much power. Something to think about, certainly. Okay, I want to get into this one little element, this one little DDD. I don't tell people where I'm at. This one little DDD that has to do with listening. Because it's connected to what we were just talking about. 2 Samuel 18:24-27. While David was sitting between the inner and outer gates, the watchman went up to the roof of the gateway by the wall. As he looked out, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out to the king and reported it. The king said, if he is alone, he must have good news. As the man came closer and closer, the watchman saw another man running, and he called down to the gatekeeper, look, another man running alone. And the king said, he must bring good news too. The watchman said, it seems to me that the first one runs like the son of Zadok. He's a good man, the king said. He comes with good news. Now, here's the bad part about this. He didn't bring good news. Okay. But that's not what I want you to see. He anticipated good news. In this particular case, it didn't pan out. But what we do is expect bad news. So yesterday, my wife got a phone call. She had to get a growth in her body that had to be checked for cancer. When she came out of the room talking to the person on the phone, I'm telling you, it looked to me like her eyes were watery. And I almost lost it. And I was like, oh. And I started to kind of like, you know, what'd they say? You know what I'm saying? Like, start going that way. And she said, they said, they don't know yet. And I said, well, why are your eyes watery? And she said, they're not. And I'm like, no, they look watery. And she goes, what's wrong with you? So, see, I was expecting maybe not better news. And the point is, my expectation and my confidence is amazingly connected to things that will take place negatively. You know, when you go out to the mailbox and you open the mailbox and you go, what bill is in here that I don't know about? See, that's that expectation of bad. Well, it's ironic because Psalm 112:7 says, we'll have no fear of bad news. He will have no fear in bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. We're supposed to be people that anticipate good things. And that even if it is bad news, God has the ability to make something turn around from it. But there's an expectation, almost like a dread. And let's I mean, I think you should be honest. How often do you turn the news on and you're expecting them to go, hey, today nobody hurt anybody. Everybody bought everybody ice cream. And then, by the way, the weather's so nice, everybody's going swimming, and no cars got into any accidents, and there was no pollution anywhere, and there was no this or there's no that. Nobody swore at anybody, and nobody called anybody anything. And that was the day. You'd be like, quick. Because you're like, where's the drama? Where's the tension? Have you never heard the expression, if it bleeds, it leads? That's a very specific media term. They want the worst possible. Train wreck is terrible, but you can't look away, right? That's not good. That shows the nature that's in us. It shows our predisposition for the bad, the expectation. Listen. I don't know if you know this or not, but the gospel is good news. Hey, you want to hear this unbelievable piece of good news? Jesus Christ, who never sinned, is willing to take your place, even though you're a sinner, when it comes to God's judgment. He's willing. That's right. He died on that cross for you. That's good. Oh, man. Let me get this right. So this dude who is God but then came down in human form, he's going to give himself up. And if I have faith in this testimony, I can live forever, not have any kind of sorrow for eternity, and God and I will be friends. Okay, I'll take it. That's good. Okay, that's a good thing. Positive, yay thing, not a bad thing. What are we expecting to hear? How strong is our faith connected to God's control? How strong is our faith connected to what God is or isn't going to do? Do you think God's just – are you waiting? When you go around the corner, are you just waiting for a bus to be coming around the other side to hit you in the face, right? I mean, is that what you do? Stop that. When you turn on the television, is it going to be negative? Then don't turn that show on. I mean, if you have to watch Davy and Goliath from the Lutheran Church from the 1950s, hello, Davy. I mean, if you have to watch that, watch that. If you have to have the TV on, put on music. There's channels that have music on it. That's amazing. It's like radio. Anyway, sorry. I'm just encouraging you to understand that living life as a Christian involves some decision-making processes that we all need to understand and utilize. Make good choices. Thank you. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770. We hope you join us tomorrow. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.